top with Giordano. Two on one. Michael Backlund shoots. Scores!
Penning. Great move. Here is Penning. Shot. Scores!
Comes free to Shane. Locked by Lucic. Ran him over.
And he wins it back to Foley. Scores!
No way! Oh, my! No way!
Kurt Fiddler backhand.
Oh, my!
It is. Now we're waiting.
Slides it in front, scores! Jason
Chimura! Checked in by Matthews, here it is, scores!
5 minutes into overtime, in game five, and McDavid scores! Game winner, series winner, for Connor McDavid!
I have been a murder man for all my life, and I'll be a murder man.
Welcome back to the Too Much Podcast, presented by Pete's Concrete. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall, and my guest this evening is a good hockey kid. He's out in St. Albert. He's friends with a few guys on our podcast, and if anyone's ever gone to the Perry Pern 3-on-3, he's a big part of helping out and organizing and being a part of that great group there. We'd like to welcome Nolan Benwood to the pod. Benner, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. Thanks again for having me. Greatly appreciate it. Doing good.
That's good, man. Yeah, I know. We've been trying to connect, obviously, over a coffee, but we're like, the same thing we're going to probably talk about at a coffee. Might as well talk on a pod. So throw a couple microphones on and just have a conversation. So, this will go in many different directions, obviously. We're going to talk about some Bob Cole memories, maybe some good ones that we have. And then, obviously lost him at the age of 90 years old and what a legend he was. And we'll do heavy mental health stuff. And then this Oilers Kings game is in the second intermission. The Oilers are up 1-0, so we can maybe break down that game. But Benner, what's kind of like, you know, Bob Cole, man, like obviously a sad passing. And I think Jeff Merrick's tweet earlier in the week kind of sums it up, where, you know, he just said, now if 38 million Canadians all felt their hearts being broken all at the same time. So the legend that Bob Cole was for us in Canada, you know, any great memories you have of him and, you know, how cherishable it was to have him around in our living rooms and watching Hockey Night in Canada with him on the tube.
Oh, you know what? He is, like McDavid even said in Crosby, the voice of hockey.
Yeah.
Like he was such a, it was almost like he was the Canadian version of Doc Edwards or
Doc Emmerich.
Doc Emmerich. Yeah. So he was like, he would make up his own words, you know, but they made so much sense in the hockey world. And he was like the god of hockey. He was gifted and talented, and it just so fluent off his tongue. And it was, listening to him, I could listen to him any day of the week. It was too easy.
Yeah. Just what Ron said, and you know, he sang the game, right? So it's just a beautiful, beautiful career he had. The fact that he made it to 90, still amazing too. You know, just the stories that come from him and the great memories that we will all cherish as, you know, sitting on Hockey Night Canada, watching him and the great calls and the Olympic calls that he's had over the years and just everything about what he did for the game and what he did for people. And just nice to see the connection him and Sidney Crosby had too. And they would talk before every regular season, talk before the playoffs, just special. Is there like one or two calls that kind of stick out to you that, you know, gives you kind of chills at times through his career?
You know, when there's not a specific one, but whenever he said, you know, oh baby, it's just, it hits you like a bag of fun, like just so much fun and gets you like literally chills to the bone, to the core, just chills you right up. And like, there's always those good ones with Crosby and,
against Ottawa too. That was a good one in the,
that was good.
The tank
Or even like there were some heavy hits on the Oilers when I think it was Sheldon Surrey was fighting someone and beat the wheels off. Or no, it was, yeah, Surrey or maybe McIntyre beat the wheels off someone. I don't know if it was Radis Evenins or whatever, but it was like he was. You're more pumped up listening to him than you are watching the actual game.
Yeah, no, for sure. What I love too is like you knew if you're like you're watching the game and you're going in the kitchen to grab another beer or pop or bag of chips or whatever, and you had your back towards the TV and you heard his voice kind of change, you knew you had to turn around and watch TV. You knew that something big was coming, and he knew how to have those moments. So I think a lot of people know that too, and what other people have spoke about him. But yeah, a legend in our game. You know, amazing person off the ice too. And you know, when he was at the rinks, he did everything he can to study his craft. And you know, the great words that Wayne Gretzky said on Hockey Night Canada too last night with Ron McLean were pretty special. And you know, he'll be missed and loved forever, and he'll leave on a great legacy and probably can never be repeated. You know, we just had Chris Cufford on our podcast here, and another great legend in his own right too.
100%.
And you know, just you know, but there's always that like one Bob Cole, and I'd love, because you know, Chris Cufford said in our interview, he's like, I tried to be like this, I tried to be like that, and then I found myself, I had to be myself. And you know, I thought that was pretty special and terms of just finding your own way in that. So anything you want to add before we kind of shift gears to some mental health stuff on that?
No, like, you know, he was just the best. He was the GOAT of hockey commentary.
Yeah,
he was the GOAT.
Yeah, he sure was. Yeah, he was too. Yeah. We'll miss him forever.
Absolutely.
So let's our NHL news and notes segment is brought to you by Sheena Boychuk. Yes, you heard that last name right. That's Sheena Boychuk. As a licensed realtor, Sheena has you covered to buy and sell your home in this hot market. She also offers home consulting services to help you upgrade your living space. Check her website out at SheenaBoychuk.com and tell her the Two Mods podcast sent you. Realty by Design, your design approach to real estate.
If it's done right the first time, you don't have to redo it. If you get Pete's Concrete to pour your driveway, you don't need a repeat. When your patio is a PDO, you don't need a repeat. When Pete's Concrete fixes your sidewalk, all it takes is once. You don't need a repeat. And if your basement leaks, a Pete's Repair helps avoid a repeat. Get it done right the first time with the colors and textures you want, so you don't have to redo it. For concrete, you can choose Pete's or repeats. Pete's Concrete.
Transition over to some mental health stuff. Obviously, you know, it's the first time I'd like, you know, like I've been at the Perry Pern like so many years. We probably recognized each other so many different times.
Oh yeah.
And you know, finally kind of connected this summer at the Perry Pern. And you've been a part of that for such a long time, and you got great support and great people in that community there. And you know, obviously one guy that sticks out, Matt Benning, who you know very, very well. And you know, and I've gone through some struggles with my mental health, and we've done some podcasts with, you know, with Matt too, but we've done with Ron McLean and Kelly Rudy on mental health. You know, I kind of want to get your opinion on mental health, maybe just the overall picture, and then where your mental health is and what you've had to fight through and gone through in your life. Benner, can you kind of open up to the listener and kind of explain maybe, you know, the people that helped you, but what kind of struggles you've had to kind of come through on the better end of it?
Yeah, like, I mean, the hardest part, in my opinion, was asking for help and just saying, I need help.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing. And there's such a, I don't know, so much now, but before there was such a stigma of, you know, oh, it's a sign of weakness, or it's, you know, it's pretty much just weakness.
People judge you, right? Like,
and that's the thing.
And if you're working, then they might say, oh, we got to lay this guy off. If you open up at work, if you open up to guys at work, it's like, I still think like we'll get back to that thought, but I still think at times it's, we can do a lot better. We've made huge strides, don't get me wrong, you know, where we're at from years ago till now, but we can still do better. But you're right, it's just asking for help is tough. So I'll throw the back to you. I kind of interrupted you there, sorry.
No, it's all good. So yeah, like the asking for help, and then also it's just like I'm the construction industry as along with you, so it's like, you know, it's a tough kind of grind, and you know, when stuff's got to get done, stuff's got to get done. So the biggest thing for me was, you know, opening up to someone at work. Let's, because there's a lot of so many factors, right? Like, do I open up? Is he going to judge me? Is he going to say something to someone else? Is he going to, you know, think down or think little of me? You know, it's not like when you have the flu, you're hurting for 4 days and then you get back up and you're good to go.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it ties into a way too, because just because you have that still means it's the same thing. Just because you have a broken leg or you have a hurt shoulder or you do have the flu or you have a headache, it's all kind of the same thing in a way. It's just you're fighting this battle that some people don't know about, but there's a reason why we want to talk about it to help each other out, especially us men, because we probably men don't talk about it enough. And you know, women talk and they have their groups, but you know, us, we kind of go to ourselves, right, in a way.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, you know, it's I have the utmost respect for all people, walks of life, who have to deal with mental health. It is a constant battle. It is non-discriminatory. It doesn't care if you're white, black, orange.
Yeah.
It don't care. Tall, short, it don't care. It will eat you up and spit you out. It's terrible. And yeah, so like, I don't know if you want me to just touch on my story now.
Like, where do you know where it kind of triggered from with you and how it triggered and kind of the steps you did to get better? And obviously the maybe the first time where you're like, hey, I really need help. Like, who am I going to contact, or how did that process go for you? I know this is tough. Like a lot of people, you know, opening up and listening, and I've opened up in the past, but I think sharing your story and having other stories to be listened to and shared will definitely help along the way. And this podcast loves to talk about mental health, but, you know, kind of in your situation, how, where did it kind of start? And then, how great was it to actually reach out, get that help and support?
Absolutely. So I am so open about it now. So back in grade three, this is when it first kind of started. I was diagnosed with Tourette syndrome. So it's just motor tics. And, you know, in grade three, that was what, 2005, I think. So their mental health then was, there was kind of no such thing. So every tick, twitch, little thing I did was laughed at, and I was belittled and berated on a daily basis. So I think that's where it really started. As grades and, you know, years went on, classmates and friends slowly started to understand. But then three years after high school, I started struggling to the point where it's like, you know, I wouldn't say I was suicidal, but I would say that I didn't care what would happen to me. If I was to get run over by a skid steer at work, didn't care. If I was to get in a car accident, didn't care. So my give a shit meter was broken. Mm-hmm. I didn't care anymore. And then when that started, I was seeing a psychologist off and on, not really consistent. And then I turned to, you know, drinking with friends turned into, let's go sit at a bar top by yourself and drink by yourself. And then, you know, I would do that. And then it's like, well, that's no fun anymore. Let's go to the casino. So I would spend endless amounts of dollars at the casino. And that got to be awful. And then that was probably 5 or 6 years of that. And then in August of 2022, I was, in my opinion, rock bottom. It was right after the Perry Perns camp, and I have never been so just broken. I didn't care. I didn't have a care for anything. And I had just, the stars had aligned. I Googled one day, I was on Google, and I'm like, psychologist St. Albert, close to home. And this lady popped up, and I went and saw her. And about a week later, 2 weeks later, she called me and she said, "Oh, we have an opportunity for you." And I said, "Well, what's that?" She goes, "We want to send you to Vancouver. There's a treatment facility in Vancouver called The Orchard. It's on Bowen Island, one of the islands of Vancouver, one of the many islands."
Yeah.
I shouldn't say it's funny, but my parents, who are my number one supporters, and my psychologist and my boss, actually, they were all kind of worried that I wouldn't go. But as soon as she said, "We want to send you," I just said, "Yes, I'll go. I can't do this anymore."
Yeah,
I can't do this anymore. And you know what? It was the hardest thing to, you know, going there was easy, but walking through the doors at the Orchard was the hardest thing, because it's like, you know, it's there's always this little thing in the back of your mind. Do I really need this? You know, my mental health, you know, it's spiraling, but do I really need this?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Within 10 minutes, I've never felt so belong. Like it was finally like, you know, there's 20 other people here and they're just like me. They just want to go through life and they want to work every day. They want to go on a vacation once or twice a year. They want to save X amount of dollars for a rainy day fund, and they just want to fit in.
Yeah.
And that really opened my eyes to, you know, how do I want to say this? As bad as I thought I had it, there's people that are way worse off than me, you know, and I wake up every morning and I'm like, you know, as much as I don't want to go to work some days, and as much as, and don't get me wrong, there's some days when I get up and it's like, you know what, Nolan, you're not going to work today because it is not beneficial for you to go to work. You should just stay home and do you for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the more, no, this is just for me personally, the more open I was to, you know, sharing my story and educating people on, like, you know what, my life might seem all like, you know, roses and rosebuds, but it's not. And, you know, you can look on the outside like you're having a grand old time and there's not a problem in the world, but then realistically you are struggling inside. And I'll never forget, I think it was August 23rd, I went to the Orchard and I was rock bottom. It was like, I have never felt so hopeless in my life. And then that place changed my life.
Yeah. And how long were you there for? And like, what kind of things did you guys work on? Like, was there a lot of activities during the day? Obviously a lot of people to talk to and lean on as well too.
Yeah, so that place was very structured. There's, as soon as I got there, you hand your phone in, and you have no, they search you, like, because, I mean, there's some people who are there, some clients who are, you know, drugs or, you know, other types of stuff, but they search you, they go through your suitcase, they give you all your clothes, or they take all your phones, electronics, everything, and then they give you a full, like, physical and checkup exam, and it's the one place where I finally didn't feel judged. It was like, you know what? I can tell them everything. And I always say this now, you're as sick as your secrets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I told them everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. It was almost like I call it verbal diarrhea of just like spewing this garbage. And it's like, finally someone's listening to me and they're not judging me.
Oh, they're
not. I was there for 28 days. And they had, so every day you wake up 6:30, you got breakfast. They have, your day is planned and filled with stuff. Like, there's no downtime. You're going 7 to 7, okay. 12 hours a day, but it was very structured. And it's and I say this all the time to my friends and stuff. I say, this is the saddest thing about that is it's not government funded. I could have gone to a government funded one, but I would have had to wait 18 months. And to be honest with you, I probably wouldn't have lasted the 18 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I was going down a path of death, homelessness, or institutionalized.
Yeah.
Because I was just so rock bottom. And, you know, it's, it saved my, like, I thank my parents because it saved my life. Like, it, and don't get me wrong, I still have my struggles today.
Yeah,
absolutely. I have speed bumps. I have hiccups. I call them all the time. You know, I've had, I'm not going to lie to you, I've had some, I've fallen off the wagon, I call it. You know, I've gone back to, I've had a couple days where I drink or I, you know, but it's, yeah, you stop and you get back on your wagon and you, the biggest thing for me is a day at a time.
Yeah.
I can worry about 2 months from now, mid July, when sun's out and everything's going to be fun. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. Right? That's how I look at it. Whether I'm 30 years old or I'm 60 years old, tomorrow ain't guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So a day at a time for me is just perfect because I just say, you know what, one day at a time. And if it can't be a day at a time, an hour at a time. Hey, you know what? I got to make it. It's 11 o'clock now. If I make it to 12, we're doing good. You make it to 12, then you say, I'm going to make it to 1. I just,
yeah,
it sounds kind of like, whatever, cliche or, you know, easier said than done, but I find those littlest things can make all the difference because, you know, who's to say you're having a bad day today at 11? Who's to say it couldn't turn perfect or great at 12? Like, yeah. there's nothing can stop you. You set your mind to something, or at least me, like I've done goals. I've been doing this goal setting thing where I, you know, set certain goals, big, small, and I just try to obtain them and reach them.
It's so true on like the whole day at a time. You know, it, and I know it sounds like a cliche, but it's true in terms of just putting one foot in front of the other, getting through that day, winning that day, and then winning tomorrow. And we look at it like we're talking about what we've went through. We're batting 100% on the bad days we've had because we wake up the next day and we're coming, we're going to work, we're doing our thing. So, you know, that's kind of where it's at. In terms, that's Bruno Boy. That's our mascot. So
that's awesome.
Watching us on YouTube, but, just a little pop into the pod, but you know, it's very important in terms of, you know, finding, you know, a rhythm or a routine or things to kind of lean on. And you know, when Kelly Rudy was on our podcast, he talked about an index card that he has in his wallet that he puts in front of him on Hockey Night Canada. So you know, if he has bad moments, he just looks at that card and says,
"Yeah."
Reads these cards. So you know, I'm going through a pretty bad breakup. I was with someone for a year. That lady meant the world to me, and actually she made me an index card, just like, not the same things that Kelly Rudy had on his, but she made things that really did a lot for me. And you know, losing that person in December, you know, I've it's tough to get through these days, you know, and I and where you were at in terms of just like, I get hit by skits there, I get hit by this. That's how I felt a couple of weeks ago, a month ago. I'm just like, hey,
yeah,
you know, like maybe not as suicidal as, you know, I was before. You know, I take that pretty serious in a way. And I think a lot of people do in terms of when you're at that point, you should really dive in deep to get the help. But, you know, it's, you know, my dad killed himself, and I found him dead 2 days before Christmas. And then I lost this relationship pretty much on Christmas morning. And, you know, it's just like out of nowhere, just kind of just done. You know, you feel like a fool because you're fighting for something that can't be fought for in a way, because it's like, what's going on? You're still confused. And then there's still like little mind games or head games or whatever back and forth, in terms of something going on, but it's hard. And then you kind of lean on some things, and then those things kind of hurt you too. And, you know, you never think someone like that could do that to you. So like, I'm kind of back in that, like last week I reached out for some more help and, you know, signed up at Mind Buffs, and, you know, and I think like you opening up about your situation, and I've opened up a little bit lately on our podcast about what I'm going through. And, you know, I'm hoping, you know, some better days are coming through, but you're right, man. Like, you really just struggle. Like, you're just like, okay, can I even get through this day? So you turn around and you're just what you said. It just, and the reason why I'm gonna bring this up is because it's what I've been doing is, okay, it's 10 o'clock. Let's make it to 11 o'clock. Let's make it to 12 o'clock. Like, I'm not joking. Like, I'm,
oh no, I'm like, I hear you.
Yeah. I'm texting. Like, I have a good support group and now I got you and you have me and, you know, and we're going to do more of these pods. I want to do more of these because, you know, there's more things to tap into, but, you know, I think it's important to, you know, find a support group that you can really lean on. And, you know, that's the next question I have too, is like, you just talked about your parents being your number one supporters. Can you talk about what you get from them and then maybe some other people in your life that you're getting help from too? It sounds like your work seems to be pretty good with you too.
Yeah. Like, I must say that my parents and even my boss or our president here at work, like, he could have got rid of me 10 times over if he wanted to, but always, you know, making accommodations and, you know, understanding, and like, I owe him
so much,
a lot.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, you know, it's, I make this joke all the time where it's like, if he calls and needs something in the middle of the night, I'll go because that's minor to compared to what he's done for me.
Yeah.
And then my parents, I remember even in school, like, they still are my number one advocates. Like, they bend over backwards. They sent me to treatment. That was whatever, $17,000 or $18,000. Like, and that's just because they
love you.
They care. They love me. They want the best for me. You know, when I look at them and I'm broken, it breaks them, I'm sure, too. You know, so that's they're huge. You know, my sisters have put up with a lot of my shit, and you know what, I'm slowly building on that those relationships. But yeah, I find that, you know what, it's a tough part because I lost a lot of, you know, all these friends, I called them, when I was, you know, drinking and gambling. I thought they were, you know, great friends of mine, but they're not. They're acquaintances.
Yeah.
And your real friends, I find, are, you know, the guy you can tell or the girl you can tell your rock bottom garbage to, and then they'll hold you accountable and they'll call you on, they'll call your bluff and be like, hey, you know what, Benner, that's not how you're doing things. You're saying you're doing it like that, but look, you're doing this, this, and this. And it's like, oh yeah, man, I am. Like, you're totally right.
Yeah.
And I find a big thing for me also is, like, you know, that support system and that people to lean on is, for me, downtime is my worst enemy. I cannot have downtime, because once I get downtime, my mind gets going and I start thinking and wandering, and it's like, oh, what could I do? I could do this. And it's like, you know what? No. So, like, even my parents kind of laugh at me because every Saturday I pretty much, like, every day I'm up about 5:30, 5 o'clock, and I'm the first guy at the breakfast store or at the breakfast place in St. Albert Post at 7 a.m. I'm the first guy walking in on a Saturday at 7 a.m. And it's my routine. I like to get up, do my stuff, because then I've got my purpose, I've got my guidance, and that's how I go about my day.
Yeah.
So it's, I know that. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. It's so awesome that you say that. Like, how is that place? Like, it's just a good kind of sweet spot for you.
It's just perfect, because, you know, I like it because you can be in there at 7:00, and if you got to be somewhere at 7:30, you're out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's cheap, and it's the perfect portion size. You know, it's doesn't do too much damage on the old stomach.
Yeah.
But it's just right in the pocket. You know, it's perfect.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's funny because, like, I don't know. I mean, my mom told me this yesterday because I was, like, crying to her over the phone. And obviously, yeah, she's doing the same thing in terms of being like, I just want to take the pain away from you. But, you know, I would always go for walks, and I'd always go up to this ice cream place in Highlands where this girl I was dating. And what I've done, I know I sound bad and sound weird even opening and saying this, but, like, I still go for the walks and I still go for the ice cream. Now they've realized the people at the ice cream place, and I'm going by myself now, because I used to always go with her. So they kind of, I think they maybe feel bad, but it's just, it's Kind Ice Cream in Highlands. It's a great little spot. And I like walking down Ada Boulevard, just look at the houses. You know, but like my mom said yesterday, maybe change that up a bit, because that kind of brings back some bad times in terms of being not with that person. But, you know, it's, and it's cool that you can lean on some friends and some people. And it, it is interesting that you say, like, you know, we have these, the, we have a support group that we think we're friends, but you're like, then they leave your life and you're like, hey, well, you're really not my friend. You're not left. You've left my life. You've left this situation. So it's kind of, and you knew what was going on and, you know, you just kind of leave. But you know, what I've realized is actually the true people in my life are the true friends. And, you know, it's, you know, like connecting with you here and some other people that, you know, like it's like, you think like, I don't put Matt Benning on the spot here if he's going to listen to this, but like, you know, he sees a post and he's just, it's a text message and it's, just, yeah. And it's cool because the way I turn that into, it's like, I just need like 8 minutes of Matt Benning's life at that moment. And it's like,
yeah,
a quick text back and forth. And then it gets me back on my track. Right. And like, you know him way better than I do, but over these years, knowing him, like it, you don't, you're not shocked by that. Cause that's the kind of person he is. That's the family.
Oh, right? So, you know what? I always say this, like I wasn't super close with old Benzo,
yeah,
but he always has time for you.
Yeah.
Like my, me speaking, like, you know, you reach out in a text, and he always has time, and you know, he's a tremendous dude, great family. Yeah. But it's, and that's so true. It's like, you know, you need that little one kind of motivator, or that little,
yeah. Johnny, you know, get you, probably the same. Like, I know we're naming a hockey name here, but if you need a laugh, just text Johnny, right? Like,
oh God, that Johnny B, that guy's a funny guy.
Yeah. But it's like, it's those people. And Johnny and I went to, I think you went to school with Matt too, right? And I went to school with Johnny, and, you know, just kind of like that similar. And then obviously Matt rented off Johnny when Matt played for the Oilers and all that stuff. So, you know, it all kind of ties into each other, but it's what Matt always says to me. It's the hockey community. It's the people you have in your circle. And my ways of filling up my cup of tea are giving back, you know, taking kids to minor hockey kids, taking them to, you know, practices, morning skates, games, all that stuff, introducing them to NHL players. You know, all that stuff kind of really does a lot for me in terms of giving back, you know, cause in a weird, selfish way, it fills up my cup of tea, but it's the moments for those kids that really, want it. Cause that's how you grow the game. And, you know, and, you know, I always talk about another guy, I'm just name dropping here, Jason Chimera, you know, like all those kids that's what I love about the Perry Pern, because it's open to all the kids. Like, there's no one there like giving you the gears. Like, you respect the space that the players have, but you have a good time, and you know, the kids get to go there for free and just watch the game, and then, or watch them practice, and that's how you grow the game. And you know, I wish other places were a lot like that, where they just, doors were just open, take some pictures, take some autographs, don't bother them, and then let them go on their way and grow the game. And, you know, and I love hockey so much because the support I get out of it, you know, it definitely picks me up in terms of like, okay, I'm going to get through this day because I got the hockey community. And I love doing this podcast, where this is episode 250 now. So we're like 250. Oh, wow. Yeah. We're 250 episodes in, and it's like, you know, it's like so cool that we can do these podcasts and interview the players and the media people, and then have, you know, great people like you on that, you know, have a story to share where you want to help people. You know, so I think it's pretty courageous to anyone to open up about what they've gone through. It's not easy, but when you do open up a little bit more, that's going to help someone that's listening and entertain the conversation. And you know, and I think that's beautiful on what you've done, you know, tonight and continue to do. You know, is there little things in your repertoire that you kind of just lean on? There's something that might, you know, you look around the house, a vehicle that you go when you go and drive, is a walk, like what kind of things that kind of get you when you're off that beaten path to get you back on that path? Is there something that you know, helps you with that process?
You know what? I do, It's funny you say that because like the Perry Perns, my parents would always say like, that's Nolan's Christmas. Like that's Nolan lives for that. So as much as I say, you know, a day at a time, but when I'm having a bad day at work or, you know, I'm PO'd at the world, it's like, you know what? We're sitting here. What is it? April 28th. It's like, we got two, three months and it's Perry Perns and you got 2 weeks of BSing with the guys in the dressing room, shooting the shit, having fun, having laughs. And it's like, I live for that. I love that. I love the camaraderie. I love the bickering and the, just the stories. And I look forward to that. And when that's over, it's like, oh wow, it's back to reality.
Yeah.
I don't really have a specific kind of thing that I lean on. I have been renting a sheet of ice here and there, like once a month or once every 2 months. Just by myself, and I just go out and rip pucks.
There's nothing
like for an hour.
Yeah,
it's great. I love it, and it's just like those little things you look forward to. I've got a little vacation planned coming up. I'm going to Spain, Barcelona. So, but other than that, it's just, you know, I just try to pull as bad as a day can be. I try to pull the positives out of it.
Yeah,
as little as there may be. For example, like. I learned this when I was in treatment. It's like you make your bed in the mornings because when you come back and you think you accomplished nothing, you can look at your bed and say, well, I made my bed. So I accomplished one thing.
Yeah.
As dumb and as stupid as that may sound to some people, I thought it was the dumbest thing you could possibly do pre-treatment. I thought that's the most waste of time. You put 5 minutes a day for 365 days a year. I'm not good at math, but you're wasting time.
Yeah.
But it is so, it's the littlest thing that can just, you know, you come home and it's like, ah, I did that. I stuck to it. I did one thing.
Yeah.
Or you know what? That's the one big thing that I do. And it's, I try to make it every day as kind of brutal as it is. Not the funnest time, but I try to keep on my routine and make it every day.
And I think I saw something on Instagram today about that. It's like, okay, you could say you've done this or you've done that, you've done this, but man, just getting up and going and like accomplishing the day by getting up, you know, jumping in the shower, making your bed, and then you've already won the day right then and there. The rest of the day is a success, you know, because the way I look at it is like, as a Christian, like God's not done with you, so he still has a purpose for you to be here, you know, whether people want to believe in God or not, or whatever their religious beliefs are, which is fine with me and all good with me. But it helps out so much when you get that opportunity to just wake up, go, boom, you're done. You've accomplished the day already in there. And whatever comes your way that day, you'll overcome it. You know, you have no choice to overcome it. I always say press play, just keep pressing play. As you keep pressing play in life, life will press play back to you. And, you know, we get one go around in this world, right? We get one shot at this whole thing. So why not try to like live it as best as possible, but share, you know, some struggles that have happened in our lives that, you know, could help others. You know, we've always done podcasts like this where, you know, 2, 3, 5 people reach out through the DMs and they're like, I needed that today. That picked me up, you know, and I appreciate the courage. Like it's great when we can get that. And then I can see the joy you have in your face and your smile when you're at the Perry Pern, you're on the bench and you're doing all your things and you're going back and forth in the locker room between floods. And, you know, I see the way those guys treat you. And, you know, some guys I know, some guys I don't know, but the guys I don't know, I do know because I watch the game and you always just know that they're good individual people. And like,
yeah,
you know, another great one is he just retired this year is Tyler Ennis. And I played ball hockey with him. And it's like, I seen the way that guy treats you. It's just, there's so many great people. And Alexander Petrovich, you know, with Petro, like he's a beauty. And, you know, there's a lot of great people there. Right. And, is there just to open up to that a bit, like, you know, you don't have to pull the curtain too back, but you know, kind of sacred what happens in that locker room there is, you know, always it stays in the locker room. But you know, is there some great guys that you have some good banter with? Like obviously you get along with all of them, but is there like one good two or good stories you can kind of maybe share about someone in there that kind of we don't know?
Yeah, it's
kind of putting you on the spot, but
no, it's fine. Yeah, Enzo enters a he's a great guy, and he right. like he always treated me good and always treats me good. You know, it's he's a phenomenal guy just to chat with and BS with. He's hilarious. Chipchura, he was funny. But one story that really, you know, I always tell this every year. So it was the year that Yakupov was, it's his first year. He came from straight from Russia to Edmonton. And I remember the Oilers equipment guy, Jeff Lang, dropped him off at the rink. Pretty sure it was Langer. And he puts on his all his gear and everything, and he gets on the ice and he's doing his thing. And then we go to the 3-on-3. And it's me taking stats, and then this other guy, Tom, taking stats, and Johnny Boychuk's sitting on the blue line area on one knee. And this reporter comes around the glass from CBC News, and he goes, "Hey, what nationality is that Yakupov guy?" And Johnny just goes, "French Canadian." And I burst out laughing, like hysterically, and the guy bought it.
Yeah.
The guy bought it, and it was like the Yakupov. The guy couldn't speak a lick of English, like, and Johnny just blurts out, "Yeah, French Canadian."
Typical Johnny Boychuk fashion, right?
So, he was funny. Or like, yeah, Chimmer was always a Corsi guy, you know, he's no slap shots.
Yeah,
Chimera was always no slap shots. Or oh, there's a lot of guys that
he
were
could
just
wheel too, Chimmer, right? Like what wheels he had on him, even at the age of 41 when he was in the National Hockey League. That guy could just, now he's obviously coaching women's hockey, so that's obviously pretty sweet. But yeah, what a beauty he is, for sure. So,
yeah. And even Petrovic too, like Petrovic is very humble.
Yeah.
And like very, very down to earth good guy.
Yeah.
Like just a straight shooter, you know, funny guy. Comes in the rink every day smiling.
Always
just happy to put the skates on.
Yeah. Just having a good time, enjoying life as he can. So you know, and him starting his family and, you know, three kids now. So
know,
him when he was single and, you know, enjoying life. And then, you know, it's like, "Hey, you got to get a little serious now." And so obviously, you know, found his partner. But yeah, just a great people in the game, right? There's so many great people. And then obviously I got to meet Matt Benning's brother, Mike, this summer too. So just another good guy. And obviously him starting his first year pro, is still pretty cool too. So, So, and how is Perry to deal with? He seems like a pretty easygoing, straight shooter kind of guy. Like it seems like everyone kind of loves these skates too. Like there's always a good turnout. So,
yeah, like Perry is awesome. Like with that being said, like he's an NHL coach. So he, like his expectations are, you know, you've got the bench ready, you've got jerseys, the teams are equal. There's four teams and everybody's equal. The expectations is you don't go on the ice and it's a shit show with jerseys. So I know my kind of role and I know my expectations and I know timeline what I have to do. And it's kind of funny because Zane, the guy who runs it, he's just like, there was one time last year where I had an appointment and I couldn't miss it. And Zane I get there an hour later and he goes, "Yeah, I just put all the jerseys on the floor in the dressing room." And I said, "Guys, take a jersey." And when I come back, Ennis and Benson, they're all like, "Oh my God, Zane was running around like a chicken with his head cut off." It's like, we all know who runs Perns. It's you, Benner.
Yeah, I remember because I was there that day. You came a bit late. I think that might have been the day we were talking after, actually.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it was funny because he was like out of sorts. But the best thing I like about him, he was like, "There's no one that can run this thing like you," meaning you. Like he was just like, he knew how valuable you are to the core of that group and that. So it's like, that's what I love, is it's like, no one's going to take that away from you because you do so good at that. You bring that in, your structure is all there. So do you and Zane draft the teams? Like, how do you guys do the teams? Like, is that,
so,
kind of, is that more so, like Perry?
Yeah, that's all Perry and Zane. So, because Perry knows, you know, he tries to put, you know, three D or 3-3 usually, or 4 and, you know, at least 2 deep per team.
Yeah.
But and then sometimes you got, you know, first day is always a kind of a toss up because, you know, you might have a stacked team or, you know, guys, Wednesdays are tough days because guys go golfing or take their off day on their Wednesday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't do that. I just do strictly, you know, handing out the jerseys in the morning, prepping the stalls, getting all the laundry washed, getting all the laundry hung out on, in their stalls. So, I mean, my goal, I'm no NHL equipment manager or anything, but like my goal every day there is to make a guy have to ask for nothing.
Yes, yeah.
Like I don't, a win for me is when they, no one asks for anything. They just can go on the ice because that means I did my job and I got, you know, laundry's done, laundry's dry, jerseys are in the right place. The guy skates who I had to go get done at Blades are sharp and good to go. Pucks are out, water's out, it's good to go. Yeah.
Yeah,
So
ice is nice and flooded too. Like the people there do a good job keeping.
yeah.
That's a nice cold rink too. So you know the ice is going to be pretty.
Oh, she's a cold barn, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, it looks like the Oilers are going to pull this off here as we finish up the pod. There's 8 seconds left. They're up 1-0. LA's outshot them 33-13. So LA came to play, but we've been talking about Stuart Skinner for a while in the media ranks and chats likes that we needed him to kind of steal a game and do his thing. And you know, he's finally kind of done that tonight. So what's your thoughts on this big win from the Oilers?
You know what? I if there's a year, it's
This is
this
it.
year.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's just like we've got that depth now. You know, we've got Ekholm, we've got Perry, we've got that Sam Carrick. Man, that guy is nails. I think he is one of the best acquisitions we got. He just plays so hard.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah.
he plays so hard and back check, forecheck. He's just a hard player. He reminds me of Travis Moan.
Yeah.
Travis
Yeah.
Moan, like just hard to play against.
Very, very hard. Yeah. You know, Seth
Yeah.
Paulson too. That was a good line back there with Rod Niedermeyer back when the Ducks won their cup too, right? So
Yeah.
and you got him from Anaheim too. So yeah, very good catch by you. You know, obviously, yeah, big win. You know, he stole the game tonight. They got the Kings got goalie. The Kings answered back, but I think we all know that Edmonton's gonna win this series. And you know, they're up 3-1, Vancouver's up 3-1. Vancouver Edmonton in the second round could be pretty interesting,
Oh
knowing
yeah, that would be war.
yeah, and the way Vancouver's doing it with like a different goalie in net every game. You know, Arthur
Yeah.
Kulak started tonight too for them. So very interesting to see. So we'll see how all that goes. But Benner, thank you so much for joining us on the 2 Months podcast this evening. And you know, let's do this maybe next weekend. You know, maybe not next Sunday night. Let's break down some stuff and do some more talk about mental health. But appreciate you taking an hour with us this evening, and thank you so much for everything you do and continued success. And appreciate the courage that you showed tonight. It means a lot for me, and I know it means a lot to our sponsors and to our listeners too.
No problem. It was my absolute pleasure. So thank you very much for having me, and it'd be my pleasure to come back.
Perfect. We'll get you back next weekend for sure. If you're free, we'll get you back on. So, okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, perfect.